wanted to be sure we had our preacher back before I started. All right. Our scripture reading for today is 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. So if you got your Bibles, open them up. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
So disappointed, I expected to creak. How many of you like to smile? Good. You won't get to today. No, I'm kidding. This sermon and what I'm going to be doing today is basically an elongated advertisement. Starting this coming Wednesday, which is March the 8th, at 7 o'clock in the Fellowship Hall, we are going to be starting a study into the little book called Steps to Christ. And some of you don't know what that looks like. Some of you do. I brought everything with me today. I just didn't want to get it all out at the first, because when you put too many books up here on the platform, they think, oh my, it's 11:25 and he's going to get done by noon. Never happened. But as you folks know, I'm quick. So I'll finish by noon. This is Steps to Christ. Alrighty. And this book, we're going to have the deacons hand out a little later on today, so just hang in there. And this book is Steps to Christ. It's the same one, same insides. But this has some really neat things inside. It's got a ribbon marker so you can mark where you're reading. It has places in it that you can write stuff down on the pages. So if you have something that really impresses you about what you read, you can add it over here on the side. But the reason why I got this one for everyone that wants to take the class is because we can be on the same page. Years ago, I had a new member of our church. He wanted to take Bible studies. And this guy wasn't just the regular take Bible studies, okay? I went through every Bible study series that I could find with this guy. From It Is Written, Amazing Facts, Voice of Prophecy, you name it, Adventist World Radio, whatever. And fortunately, he had a brand new King James version of the Bible, which was pretty slick. Because I had a New King James Version of the Bible, and it was a prophecy study Bible from the Voice of Prophecy. Amazing Facts, sorry. And this prophecy study edition, the inside part of the Bible itself, was paged exactly to his. And so he couldn't find 1 Peter on a bet. But I could tell him on page such and such, and he could find that just like that. And we could do the studies together. Trust me, by the time we finished up, and I think I finally had a total of 12 different types of Bible studies that I went through with him. We went through 12 of those studies, and finally by the end of, probably the fifth or sixth series of studies, he was able to find what he needed to find in the Bible. It was pretty cool. The reason I bring both of these is that if you come to the series, There are 13 chapters in Steps to Christ. If you make all 13, and I'm keeping track, I will give you one of these. These are about a $20 value. And I want to make sure that once you finish Steps to Christ, it'll be something that you can take home and use and have and really treasure, because it is a really great book. How many of you would be interested? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Okay. Almost 10. 11, 12, 13. Because I'm figuring I probably will have about 20 people. The reason why I kind of want to know, I'm really selfish this way. I should have a very large L on my forehead standing for
lazy,
because I don't want to set up chairs and tables in the fellowship hall for 40 people and have three show up. I don't want to do that. Okay? If you've ever set up tables and chairs in the fellowship hall or helped to take them down, you'll know why. So be nice to me. If you're not going to come, don't come. If you're not going to come when they hand out the Steps to Christ, please don't raise your hand and ask for one if you're just going to take it home and read it there. This will not be live streamed, just so you know. Some people will be horribly disappointed. Others are going to cheer. I've already had two people that cheered and encouraged me, went, yay! You know. So I'm looking forward to it with you folks. As I told Dina this morning, she texted me, she said, did you want me to announce it or did you want to? You got enough on your plate. And I said, nah, I'll announce it. And so anyway, what I told her is, I'm excited about this. I'm also terrified. A few years back, I was doing, in a different church, I was doing the Wednesday night prayer meeting. I was elected as head elder, so I was doing the prayer meeting. We started out with about 5 people. We ended up with 20. They were coming on a regular basis. And then, as Satan can often do, he threw a monkey wrench in the whole thing and it all flushed. So that's why I'm terrified. Because Satan has a tendency to get his big nose into things that he doesn't need to get his nose into, and throws you off pretty good. So I'm excited, and yet I'm terrified. So those conflicting emotions are a little bit weird inside going on. Just so you know. Like I told you when we were having our songs, it's full disclosure with Don. What you see is what you get. All righty? Thank you. I had somebody called me up and wished me a happy birthday this week. I turned 71 last Sunday. And this person said, I'll be praying for you and the series. I almost cried. To think that they would be praying for me? Really? Thank you very much. I appreciate that. There are people who are going to be coming to this, hopefully, from Arizona Sunshine. It's the other part that's scaring me half to death, to think that these people will come from there, not knowing Adventism from a hole in the ground, or in any other religion, and they're going to go, oh my, now what? What are we going to expect here? And everybody's worried, well, they're going to be starting on the third week. Will we be able to bring them up to speed without them feeling like they're diving in the middle? I said, oh, I don't know. I think we'll be able to handle that. I tend to be pretty good about being able to bring people up to speed. If you don't believe me, you can ask the Sabbath school class that I help to teach. But you want a sermon this morning, not just an advertisement. So, if radio slim fingers can pluck a melody from night and toss it over continent or sea, if the petal white notes of a violin are culled from thin blue air. I didn't say that right. I can't believe I didn't do my poem right. I have to start again. If radio slim fingers can pluck a melody from night and toss it over continent or sea, if the petal white notes of a violin are blown across the mountain or the city's din, if songs like crimson roses are culled from thin blue air, then why should we wonder that our God answers prayer. Amen. Let's pray. Father, as you can tell, I really need your help this morning. I pray for your Holy Spirit to anoint my lips and my mind that I will have clear thinking and clear speaking. And I pray that these people who are listening, whether they're live stream or whether they're here in the congregation, I pray, Lord, that you will fill them with your Spirit, and may they hear and see what you wish them to hear and see this morning, is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'll turn in your Bibles, you were already in 2 Peter, so if you were able to find that, you'll be able to find the next one pretty easy. We read 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 8, and we're just going to go over to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. And I'm hearing pages turn still. You know, it's interesting, in the electronics age, it's really difficult to hear pages turn on an electronic Bible. And I'm thinking somebody, whoever develops these Bibles that you can put on your Kindle or your regular cell phone or your iPad or whatever, they need to make it so that when you turn the page, it rattles. Wouldn't that be cool? I think there would be television evangelists would love that. They would think that's great. All righty, now that you're there, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 says, "But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." And what's the name of the sermon this morning? How. I didn't want to say Native American, how. No, that wasn't what I was talking about. How? Okay, so I'm supposed to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, how do I do that? That's a great goal, don't you think? Don't you want to grow in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Wouldn't you like that? Wouldn't you love to grow in grace? How do you do it? How do you go about doing that? When I first became an Adventist, I didn't know. How do you develop that relationship with Him? What do you do? All righty, let's go back to our other one. It says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 8, he lists out some other things here. He says, "For this very reason, make every effort to add, didn't say multiply, didn't say subtract, but it said, add to your faith goodness, and goodness knowledge, and knowledge self-control. And self-control, add perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, I have brotherly kindness." The New International Version 2011 says a little different. That's okay. "And to brotherly kindness, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." How? How am I supposed to do that? How do I add to my virtue? Knowledge. Knowledge. Perseverance. I've often heard, don't pray for faith because God sends you trials. And then you have the trials, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. That's you praying for patience. Sorry, Dina. Don't pray for patience. Never pray for patience. Ever, ever pray for patience. Because the trying of your faith worketh patience. So if you want problems, pray for patience. But what do you do? So I'm like, okay, so how do I do that? Well, then I was reading in another, here, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Good verse. We were studying this morning about salvation in Jack's class over here with the Bible Believers class. And I was thinking, man, this just dovetails with what we're going to talk about today. Because in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast." I remember the one preacher that I heard this from years ago. He was from an interdenominational church, and he put his thumbs under his arms like that, and he said, "Lest anyone should boast." Wouldn't you just love to be able to get to heaven and say, "Well, look what I did"? see what I did? God knew we're that way. We're just that way, aren't we? He said, no. You're there by grace. And that's it. But he goes on in verse 10, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, he says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So we're getting a little closer to the how. Who's the creator? Tiffany, right? Are you the creator, Tiffany? What about Mark? No. Cindy, how about you? You the creator? No. I'm not either. You know, I looked at my driver's license this morning just to be sure, and it didn't say God anywhere on it. Amazing. Just amazing. And I thought I was perfect. And yet, we are created by Christ Jesus to do good works. So we know that it's getting closer. So we know that we are created. Somehow that creation takes place in us. But how is it going to be done? We're going to do a Bible study this morning. You probably hadn't noticed that. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. And we're going to be reading verses 6 and 7. And verse 6 says, so then just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. So how did you receive Christ Jesus? For by grace you are saved by faith. It is faith. What is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Aren't you good Bible students? Oh, I just love it. You guys can quote your scriptures so good, but what does it mean? What is faith? You know, the New Living Translation, I love it. It says trust. And you go into Amplified to trust, hang on to, cling to, believe in. It gives the impression that it's like a guy who's drowning in the water and somebody throws him a line to save him and he hangs on to that, as my father would say, like grim death to a pumpkin. Don't ask me what that means. I haven't got a clue. But in my child's mind, I knew it meant I was hanging on for dear life. So you're hanging on. That's what faith is. And we have that faith. We cling to that faith. If that's how we came to Jesus Christ, He said, that's how you are to live in Him. Wow. Okay, we're getting closer. And it says, how do we get the faith? Romans chapter 10, verse 17. All righty. Wow, I can't believe that. I turned right to it. I'll wait for you. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Because at the end of this, we're going to have three things that we can do. Now, Morris Vinden read Steps to Christ through, marked it up. There was all kinds of tons of things to do in there. And he said, this is ridiculous. And he went to toss it in the fire and burn it up, he said. And he went ahead and he decided, nah, maybe I'll take another look at it. And so he read through again and he found that there were three things that he could do. And we're going to be covering those three things today, and in far greater detail in the studies. So now that you're there, it's just like with Evelyn, when she has to change from G to a D, she has to add a little something to her banjo. And so I have to give her time to do that. So I talk. And it works. And everybody thinks, oh, well, that's what was supposed to happen. I wouldn't tell them otherwise. So I just talk, and I can see her out of the corner of my eye. She's got it on. She's ready to go. I stop talking. We sing. So, Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, consequently, faith comes by hearing the message, and the message is heard through the what? The Word of Christ. So we get our faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. When we read the Word of God, that's where faith comes from. Now, I don't know if you've ever heard Doug Batchelor's story. He was the richest caveman, and as a young man, he went to California, Mount St. Gregorio, or however you pronounce it over there. Anyway, it's a big, tall mountain, and he found this cave he could live in. And when he went into the cave, there was this King James Version of the Bible. Some Gideon, somewhere along the way, stuck it in there. And he had been told it was a fable, and so he figured, I'm bored, I got nothing else to do, I'll read it. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, I picked up the Bible and I read it. I had a red letter edition Bible that my mom gave me, and I read Matthew chapter 5. It was all red letters, and it was really interesting. Didn't understand a word of it. Dumb as a post. Nobody to guide me. Remember the Ethiopian eunuch? He's reading the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, we would call it. And Philip was led by the Holy Spirit to come up beside that chariot and join with him. And he got in the chariot and he said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I unless somebody explains it to me? So Philip explained it to him. And I needed somebody to do that as well. And so we find that we can read the Word of God, but we need a little bit of help sometimes. That's why a lot of you folks, I'm looking out there at a couple, three of you I know are taking Bible studies right now. And that is great. Somebody is coming alongside you, and they're adding their knowledge of what they know about the Bible and being able to rightly divide the Word of truth with you so that they can lead you along in a knowledge, a proper knowledge of the Word of God. All righty. So, we read the Bible. We get closer. So that's the first thing, is to study. Take that Bible off the shelf, clean off the dust, and read it. How many of you read the King James Version a lot? Okay, a lot of you do. How many of you understand it? Some of you do. I don't see as many hands going up that you understand it. Do you know what the best version of the Bible? I know that Jack and Dina use the New International Version. I've got friends of mine. Faye loves the New Living Translation. I've got a friend of mine that lived up in Idaho, and she had the Amplified Version. Others are into the New King James Version. They like that really well. But do you know which version is the best version? The one you read. If you don't read it and it sits on the shelf, it doesn't do you a whole lot of good. So no, we want you to read the Bible. All righty. So we're getting a little closer. We find also, if you go over to Galatians, that God is going to help us to find some things. Galatians chapter 5, and I know you folks have read this before. Galatians chapter 5, and verse 22. Now, in my Bible, I've got 2 Peter 1, verses 5 through 8 marked in the margin beside that, because we're adding to our faith virtue, and our virtue knowledge, and knowledge, etc., etc. And here we find, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. So who gives us that? That's what we work really hard for, right? We study our Bibles and we really knuckle down and we really grind it out, right? Isn't that what that verse is telling us? The fruit of the what? The Holy Spirit, His fruit, comes in our life. You'll notice it doesn't say the fruits, plural. It says the fruit of the Spirit. He wants to give all of it to us. Why? Because when we have all of these fruit of the Spirit, it's in a balanced portion. We don't have all brotherly kindness and no gentleness. We don't have all knowledge and no desire to be gentle and meek. So now we know we have the fruit of the Spirit there. And so God works, good works are the fruits of the Spirit of God. All right, so great, Don. We're going to study our Bible and the Holy Spirit's going to change us. What's that famous Native American word I've been using all day? Well, how? How does that happen? Oh, well, let me guide you to Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Peter is preaching at Pentecost. They had been filled with the Holy Spirit. He preached to the Jewish people that were there. They were pricked to the heart, it says. And they said to him, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive what? The gift of the Holy Spirit." So when you were baptized, God gave you His Holy Spirit. He basically, through the Holy Spirit, walks right alongside you, and He stays right there with you. So as you're studying His Word, that Holy Spirit is helping to guide you. And sometimes we can do it on our own. I mean, Doug Batchelor did it on his own. I wasn't that lucky. I took Bible studies, and that really helped me out a lot. The pastor was really good. Elder Basson was great. And he helped me with those Bible studies. I blew through those in a heartbeat. And, probably 20-some years later, I went through a divorce. And I left the Adventist church for about 3 or 4 years. Just completely gave it up. Said, "Forget it, I'm not going to do that." Jack was talking about, if I were to die tonight, would I be saved? And he says, "I can't guarantee 10 years from now what will take place." And I was thinking, yeah. He said, "Right now, I don't think I would ever turn my back on God." I never did either. I didn't think I would turn my back on God. But I turned around and I walked away from it all. I got hurt. And because I was hurt, I basically told God to go take a flying leap, and I left. But the neat part about God is that He doesn't give up. He's got a long rope, and He keeps pulling, and He keeps pulling. And when you cut the rope, He grabs hold of it, and He ties it into a knot, and He keeps pulling. What happens when you cut a rope and you tie a knot? Is it longer or shorter? Shorter. And so the next time when I cut it, what did He do? He tied another knot in it. Got a little shorter. And the day came when there was a call made, and I said, "No, I can't stay away any longer. That's it. I've got to stay with it." And that's when I learned about the other part. Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, and we're going to look at verses 9 and 10 and 13. Luke 11 and verse 9 says, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened." And then drop to 13, it says, "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" So how do you get the Holy Spirit? How do you get that experience? Ask. Did you notice that it said, "And everyone who asks receives"? For God so loved who? The world. Everybody. Does He say, "Oh, I'm sorry, everybody except for Ray"? No, Ray can stay back. I'm sorry. And I pick on Ray because he knows that I always tease with people a lot. So poor Ray back there, everybody can be saved except him. You'd look at that and you go, "Are you nuts?" No, God said everybody. Everyone who asks receives. Receives what? The Holy Spirit. If you don't ask, you don't get it. How many of you have ever been in a family that you don't get the dessert if you don't ask for it? Trust me, I've never missed a dessert. So now, we're going to make a short transition. How? In this new one here on page 30. Many are inquiring, what's that word? How am I to make a surrender of myself to God? How do I do it? Can you imagine? Somebody asks the same question I did. How do you do it? You just go down farther in the paragraph and she answers it. She said, what you need to understand is the true force of the will. This is the governing power in the nature of man, the power of decision or of choice. And Jack was talking about choice and our decisions that we make in Sabbath school this morning. I was thinking, man, that just dovetails perfectly into this sermon. Because of the fact that we are more powerful than God. Now let that sink in for a minute. You say, are you kidding? God transcends everything. He created this entire universe, and you're telling me you're more powerful than He is? The answer is yes. Because when He created me, He gave me the power of choice. That's an extremely huge power. The power of choice. Because He gave that to Adam and Eve. He said, you can eat any tree in the garden. I don't care which one you want. Eat them all, except that one. If you eat that one, you'll die. And what did they do? They made a choice. And they picked to eat from that tree, which separated them from God, and they lost eternal life. The power of choice God has given to men, it is theirs to exercise. You cannot change your heart. You cannot, of yourself, give to God its affections. But you can choose to serve Him. Every day, all the time, when choices come up, you can choose to serve Him. Study, prayer, a choice. This little book was written in 1892. First published, I should say, in 1892. It came right after the General Conference session of 1888 when E.J. Wagner and A.T. Jones presented righteousness by faith, which is a doctrine that Jack Cologne teaches to the nth degree. Does a fantastic job of it. There's no works involved. It is by grace you have been saved through faith. Not of works. And that was their message. But the men, being human, they wanted to preach the third angel's message is what they wanted to do, and they wanted to discard what E.J. Wagner and A.T. Jones had to say. So they basically threw it out with the baby out with the bathwater and let it sit. And she said, she was shown by God that righteousness by faith was the third angel's message in verity. Oh. So we find that this book was written to help them get away from just prophecy, 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 which they had done since the 1830s when William Miller was talking about prophecy. We need to have an experience with Jesus Christ. And they said, well, everybody knows that. We don't need to go through that. Everybody that comes to, you know, to our meetings knows about Jesus and how to have an experience with Him. Well, if that were the case, then how come this particular volume was translated into more languages than any other book on the planet? Why is it that it has a larger, wider circulation than any other book ever published by anyone, anywhere, if it wasn't needed? Good questions. In 1892, it was published by a company called Revell. It had 12 chapters. Well, when Pacific Press and Review and Herald saw what a great response it had, they said, well, maybe we ought to take a second look at it. So they bought the copyrights away from Revell, and they started publishing it. And before they did, Mrs. White wrote chapter 1. And chapter 1 is an interesting chapter. It's God's love for for man. The first chapter to begin with was the sinner's need of Christ. And ahead of that, she put God's love for man. I thought that was pretty good. The goodness of God leads you to what? Repentance. That's what Romans says. That's what Paul writes. The second chapter is the sinner's need of Christ. It's one of the shortest chapters that's in there. If you don't need something, you don't know you need something, are you going to want it? When that salesman comes to your house and tries to sell you whatever it is they're trying to sell you, they must create a need in your life for whatever product it is that they are selling you. If you don't have a need for it, you're not going to buy it. So that's the salesman's first job, is to show you you have a need. So that's what she does. The third chapter is called repentance. Morris Vinden was saying, when he was a younger pastor, he got together at one of the camp meetings, and they would always put together the tents. You know, they put up the tents for camp meeting and have a lot of fun doing that. But as pastors that weren't used to doing a lot of physical labor, they kind of found their way to the back of one of the tents where it was quiet and nobody could see that they were just sitting down resting. And so they all got to chatting about stuff. And so Morris said, well, I have a question. How do you repent? There's that question again. How do you repent? And so these guys were learned men. They'd been in the ministry for years. And he said, how do you repent? And they all said, well, you repent. He said, so the way to repent is to repent. And they said, well, yeah. Okay. So he left further in a quandary than he was when he started. And so in this chapter on repentance, we're going to find out, what is repentance? What does it do? How does it act? How is it initiated? Who initiates it? You? Me? God? Holy Spirit? What happens? The next chapter is called confession. How do you confess? 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Cool. So we want to make sure that we know how to confess. Publicly? Privately? To a priest? To the pastor? To the head elder? Maybe we did something wrong. We need to go to Dennis and say, Dennis, can you sit down with me? I need to confess my sins to you. He's over here shaking his head no. He didn't want to hear about it. He's not interested in hearing your confession. And then consecration. That one section I read, how am I to make a surrender of myself to God? That's in the chapter on consecration. Nice chapter. We'll study more into that. The next chapter is called faith and acceptance. How do we accept it? What is faith? The test of discipleship. This chapter challenges me a lot. And every time I read it, I make sure that I wear my steel-toed boots. Because inevitably it stands on my toes. So I have to be careful. So I'll warn you ahead of time, it's going to be a challenging chapter for us. Then the next chapter is called Growing Up into Christ. According to 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says that he that is in Christ Jesus is a new creation. The old things have passed away, the new things have come. We need to grow up into Him. Then it talks about the work and the life. And it's not necessarily talking about religious work. Todd's a policeman. So is Jaden. They're police officers. But they have a witness in the community in what they do. They have a work that they do in their life for Jesus Christ. And it shows. Then we have a knowledge of God. It says in John 17:3 that to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent, is eternal life. So we want to have that knowledge of God. And then another chapter is called The Privilege of Prayer. And I like this particular quote. The privilege of prayer. Prayer is the opening of the heart to God as to a friend. Is that how you pray? I hope it is, that you open your heart to Him as you would to a friend. Why should the sons and daughters of God be reluctant to pray when prayer is the key in the hand of faith to unlock heaven's storehouse where are treasured the boundless resources of omnipotence? Wow. We have boundless resources of omnipotence and we don't ask for it? The privilege of prayer. You ever, anybody ever look at Christian book distributors? Ever buy any books from, I buy books from Christian book distributors. I buy Bibles from them. Ask my wife. I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't go to movies, but I buy Bibles. It's one of those things that I have every translation that ever was written, I think. But I like that. I like to be able to compare the different authors, the different translations. And then she has this, and what do you do with doubt? This is in this chapter. I like this. And this is the third thing. We have study, we have prayer. Let's see if you get this one. I needed help, and I found it in Jesus. Every want was supplied. The hunger of my soul was satisfied, and now the Bible is to me the revelation of Jesus Christ. Do you ask why I believe in Jesus? Because He is to me a divine Savior. Why do I believe the Bible? Because I found it to be the voice of God to my soul. We may have the witness in ourselves that the Bible is true, that Christ is the Son of God. We know that we are not following cunningly devised fables. And then the last chapter is called Rejoicing in the Lord. Do you want to be a sadventist? Do you want to be a gadventist? There's a lot of people, they travel from one church to another. They church hop everywhere. So they're called gadventists. And there are some people who are sadventists. They're always sad. I love the Lord. And I want you to experience that love with me. Please join me in prayer. I'll teach you how to smile backwards. We want to rejoice in the Lord. We want to be happy with Him. If people see us happy, they're going to say, wow, what is it, Mark? What's about you, dude? I mean, there's something about Mark that just, wow, it just screams Jesus. Can I please find out about him? Will you tell me about him? And then there's Haley. Haley can do the same thing. And so can Selena and Bree. And then there's Aaron. Of course, Aaron. I mean, you know, he's the father. Of course he would. But we want to rejoice in the Lord. And our last scripture today, I'm sorry I went 5 minutes over. You can fire me. I'll never preach again. Till next time. Sorry. This is a verse that was written in a Bible that I got from a literature evangelist friend of mine down in Tucson and meant a lot to me. It's Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Man, he doesn't give up. I don't care how bad a Christian you've been, he's asking you to be better. I don't care how long it's been since you've been in church. I don't care. He wants you. He loves you. He desires you, and he wants to do a work in you that nobody else can do, not even you. So I leave you with that today. What were the three things? Bible study. Prayer, share. What you learned in your Bible study and your prayer life, you share with someone else. That's what we want. That's what we need. It's a three-legged stool. And if you sit on a three-legged stool to milk a cow, you'll never fall over. But I dare you to take one of those legs away. Our closing hymn this morning is number 320. And I want you to notice the words. 320. Mainly the last verse. This one you're going to look at and say, I've never heard this song before, but you have. You know it is, Be Thou My Vision, O Lord of My Life. Okay, it's the same tune, different words. It says, Lord of all being, I give you my all. If I ever disown you, I stumble and fall. But led in your service, your word to obey, I'll walk in your freedom to the end of the way. God wants to do that with us. Will you stand with me and sing this hymn? Let's sing together. I know. You can use that one. Lord of creation, to you be all praise. Most mighty your working, most wondrous your ways. Your glory and might are beyond us to tell. And yet in the heart of the humble you dwell. Lord of all power, I give you my will. In joyful obedience, your task to fulfill. Your bondage is freedom, your service is song. And held in your keeping, my weakness is strong. Lord of all wisdom, I give you my mind. Rich truth that surpasses man's knowledge to find. What eye has not seen and what ear has not heard is taught by your Spirit and shines from your word. Lord of all being, I give you my all. If I e'er disown you, I stumble and fall. But led in your service, your word to obey, I'll walk in your freedom to the end of the day. Before we close in prayer, Dennis has an announcement, and then I need to know who wants the steps to Christ. The deacons have them here, and if you, after prayer is over with, if you will raise your hand, they will give that to you, and then I will see you Wednesday night at 7 o'clock.
Coming up in this church, in your own church here, March 22, 23, and 24. 23 and 24 are the actual days of the Arizona Sunshine, a health clinic going on in this church. You might want to let your own neighbors know. You might want to let your doctors know. Let anybody know that this is going on, free health services in this church. It'll be happening in our gymnasium. So that is something that's going on in this church this month. And so literally we have some flyers here that just came in just this week. And if like to have you take one or take a few of them as you go out the door. Please share them with anywhere you work, anywhere you visit, any people you know that you think might benefit from free health services. Now, not only health, but we have chaplains that will talk about Bible studies. We have all kind of things being offered in services all over the valley.